Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty in our life. We have warm weather and rain, and we have flowers and sunshine, and we have peoples and things that we enjoy. But most wonderful is our relationship with you through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are thankful that God does not change and that He loves us. And yet we have struggles in life. Sometimes there are difficulties and we wonder why. The struggles and difficulties, they are an opportunity to grow our faith. As we watch God work, over time our faith grows, and we recognize that God has a part and we have a part. I think for an example of J. Vernon McGee. Years ago, he gave this example of a farmer who prays for rain, and then the farmer, he waits expectantly with a hoe in his hand. And that is how I view that God does his part and we do our part. We wait with expectation. And an example of this I have in my life. A few years ago, there was a group, I was a part of a group of four Christians. We were in a foreign city, and we prayed and were ready to do work in that city. But on that day, we did not have a specific plan, yet we prayed and we were walking on one of the main streets, and we just met the right businessman, and things came together, and we had a two-hour meeting with him. And that is how we pray and we are ready to do what comes next. That is the hand of God. That's what I see. So why does that not happen every day of our life? Well, are we prepared and committed to do God's work every day? Well, I wonder. And then you have to consider the spiritual battle that we are in. Satan is our adversary, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. We live in this world, and we can see this process taking place around us, the battle between good and evil. We can see things which are of God and things which are not of God, but the things which are not of God we do not want to dwell on. So we are in a battle, and sometimes we get desensitized to seeing so much around us which is not of God. It's all around us. It's in the society we live in. And some people would call that which is not of God, that which we see, sinful, because it opposes what good things that God wants for us. Often enough, we see those things that are violent or sexualization, and we see that a lot in these days. We might wonder, when did this process of desensitization start? Well, there were real reasons for it to start. There were wars, there were war movies, there were documentaries of situations that were around, and all these things examined the pain in life and the huge difficulties. We've also had the violent TV programs which showed violence, and now it has moved into video games and other violent events just playing around us. It's right in society. Oh, and you know, of course, you know there was that shooting in New Zealand, and that was reported to have been streamed live on Facebook for a little while before it was taken down. And the news said that 1.5 million people attempted to view that video. So, I think this shows the level of desensitization that there is in society. The number of people who are craving to see real violent acts. Not good. Well, if you look around in society, you see that there is an active, call it a program, to both desensitize us and to manipulate all of us. You can look back at the big events in the centuries, well, no, just let's say 100 years, in 100 years past, or a decade past even, and you'll see that there's all sorts of things going on that really desensitize and manipulate all of us. If you look back at the big events like wars or major changes in our nation's laws or in examinations of what certain people are doing or politicians, you might see a pattern that shows that we have been manipulated, and it's been on a grand scale. So many things in involving the media, involving people, so much participation on every level. We see the media, and where is that going? So many people say they don't trust the media, and I say right, because in general, what do we hear on the media? We hear news, and we see pictures, and we want to believe them because the media, the news, has been a source of information. But we also know that they have misled us, and the things that they show and the conclusions that they come to are not really true. Well, they're manipulated. Sure, they're true, but we only get part of the truth. There's always more to the story when we see the events that are reported or when we see the violence that is shown. So, that tragic event of 50 people dying in New Zealand, well, that was an event to be looked at, I know that. And we wonder, how could it have come about? The shooter, who was a young man, let's look at his history just a little bit. Let's look at the person. He did travel around in some parts of the world, like in Asia. He went to Pakistan. How does a young man afford to do such expensive things or buy expensive guns? Well, there are questions, and the information is not complete. But look at his answers to the questions the police asked him. It was done in a report. You can see the report. It's available. The news outlets reported that he was a right-wing radical. But let's look at a few of his questions and answers, which were in the police session. He was asked, "Are you right-wing?" He answered, "Sure." "Are you left-wing?" He answered, "Sure." "Are you a conservative?" He said, "Not a chance." "Are you a fascist?" "Yes, I am a fascist." "What are your political views?" And he responded, "The nation with the closest political and social views to my own is the People's Republic of China." Question: "Are you a supporter of Donald Trump?" Answer: "Oh, dear God, no." The answers which he gives indicate that the news reporting that we hear is not complete. They push into a certain direction. the media does. And what are they trying to tell us anyway, the media, the commentators? Well, it's all different opinions are around, and some of the commentators say that there is an effort to take away our Second Amendment rights and the gun rights of people around the world. Who knows what the real truth is, but I think it's always good to look at what the possibilities are. Well, now New Zealand, with that act, has made assault rifles illegal, that is, except for police, security professionals, and certain farmers. So, is that good or not good? Well, I suppose everybody has a different opinion on that one. But we do recognize how awful a shooting attack is. They are awful. And during that attack, in the news reported that there was one man who did not duck and hide. He did not cower, but he was willing to, in a way, fight back. His name was Aziz. The news did not give his last name. But what he did was he advanced on the shooter when the shooter was looking around or when the shooter was reloading. He, in effect, charged the shooter. And what happened? The shooter retreated. And I thought about this, and I thought, you know, if that man had been armed, it would have changed everything. But charging the shooter, it did have an effect. It caused the shooter to almost to flee, and it made me think of how perhaps an armed citizen is a good idea, at least sometimes, because it would make any shooter, if there were a few armed citizens, it would make any shooter concerned that somebody might confront him or shoot him. And so you have to remember that little lesson. If you charge a shooter, he will flee. Maybe. Maybe not, though. We really don't know. But it did remind me of the Bible passage. If you resist the devil, he will flee. So, questions. I don't mean to advocate that, but I mean to talk about it. It does remind me of churches. After there were attacks in this country, churches or people in churches were attacked. There was a widespread response to this, and pastors all over the country organized people who legally carried a handgun to be in strategic locations in their churches during the Sunday church services. And guess what? I have not heard of a church shooting for some months now. And it's probably because of what the pastors did to organize a resistance. It's a lot of question, but everybody has a different idea about the whole entire questioning here. I know one of the things that people say, you've heard it, I'm sure, too, you will need a gun when seconds count and the police are minutes away. I don't know that the two sides of this debate will ever reach an agreement because the two sides are so very divided. One side says nobody should have a gun except the military and the police, and the other side says people need guns to protect themselves from the dangerous criminals who have guns. So there's an argument between the two sides, and I'm not sure that any middle ground can be found because they both are so opposite. But I know if we don't talk, we certainly will not find a middle ground. Dialogue is important. So there are many decisions these days which will affect our society, And somehow, I think it's better to talk them out and think them over and see what an agreeable solution can be. Now, I can only guess what could happen in our country's future. There's so many different possibilities. Now, I'm thinking back about 15 or more years ago. There was a pastor who I heard just once, but it was interesting. He prophesied several different things, and one of the things he prophesied was that while guns would not be completely outlawed, they would effectively be banned in America. So I thought about this pastor prophesying just a few days ago when we had this event in New Zealand. And I remember another commentator who was on the news just those days ago said that there are efforts to destabilize the West, the Western civilization, America, over gun rights. And that will lead to racial separation, and then fighting will start within the United States. I don't know that I could agree with this, but I listen to lots of different opinions and different points of view. So what do I say about this? I don't know. I don't personally have much experience about social, or let's call it racial, strife. But over the decades, I have occasionally encountered people who were very, very ready either to fight hard for their race, or they were very ready to fight hard for their guns, gun rights. The answer? Hey, I don't know. But I would suppose it would be better to have something to do with love. Be around people who love for the sake of Jesus. Sure, that's better. And still you have to ask the question, what is love? And how do you deal with people who need love, but they are so full of the difficulties and tragedies of life? Yes, that is a big question. It's ongoing. It just seems to be the events that we deal with. Well, just look at the airplane crashes in the last month. There was one in Kenya and one in Indonesia. And with those two different airline crashes, 346 people died in total. That's a lot of people. 346 people died in airplane crashes, everyone on board. So, what do you think? Will we ban airplanes? Not a chance. Will we ban cars? Nope, not a chance. Even though in the United States, there are close to 40,000 people who die in automobile accidents every year. No, we don't ban cars. Should we have cars only be operated with special licenses or people who are professionals? Well, avoiding crises is a good thing. Oh, speaking of crises, we have another crisis just right current in our society, the opiate crisis. And thousands of people die every year from that in the United States. How do you combat the opiate crisis? I don't know. There's problems just in modern living. When you have modern living and personal choices that everyone can make, well, it makes for a lot of decisions and a lot of tough situations in life. Now, I recognize that guns are different because guns are weapons. And I think about other weapons like knives and sticks or club weapons. Now, those are also weapons, but they kill more people than guns every year. And they're all illegal. Anyway, the big ones are, the big clubs and the big knives. It's just interesting. It's just interesting. Where will all this end up? I don't know. I think one of the basic questions is, do you want the government to guarantee your safety? Well, they kind of do, but if they fail to protect us, the courts have ruled that we, as citizens, have no recourse. If the police don't do their job, the citizens cannot sue them for not doing their job. So that's one of the things about expecting government or an element of government to protect us. So then what? Do we want the means to protect ourselves? Do we want the responsibility to protect ourselves and our family? Well, there's good questions, and I hope that we all examine them and come up with we already have an answer because it's in our Constitution, but there's plenty of people who want to rethink it, and that's okay to have dialogue. I think the big thing is that we are aware of our circumstances and surroundings, and we do things to protect ourselves in every instance. There's man-caused disasters, and there's natural disasters. Protection is a good thing. Speaking of natural disasters, a week ago in Mozambique, South Africa, there was a cyclone that hit. It hit a major seaport city called Beria, and 90% of that city was destroyed. It was a natural disaster. So far, only hundreds of people have died from it, but it is expected that the death toll will rise into the thousands. It was a city of 500,000 inhabitants. And so most of the city dwellers were left without homes. 500,000. That is a huge difficulty. So what do we have to do? We have a lot to pray for. Pray for, and then do a little something to help in a physical or a monetary way. We want to be concerned about others and their well-being, both in this nation and in other nations. There's only so much we can do in most cases, but pretty much there's always something we can do. And then there are silent dangers that can affect us. You know that some months ago, I talked about cell phones and how my own cell phones were creating a hot feeling on my body where I carried them. And I mentioned that to some people, and I was surprised that the number of people who I then knew had gotten a cancer or a growth from exactly where they carried their cell phone. There were quite a few. So there's plenty of people who are concerned about dangers of the older cell phones. And now there is a new cell phone it's a new system that is not yet in place, but it is in the process of being put into place with the 5G communication system. More and more people are examining the 5G communication system, and they are very concerned. Because even just with the past cell phones and cell phone towers, there have been an abundance of cancers and immune system problems and deaths, all associated with, especially the concern is with younger people and children, where there was a tower next to where people lived or worked, the incidences increased. But it is the law. Here, listen, it is the law that 5G cannot be opposed on the basis of health risks. Congress passed that law. Hard to believe, isn't it? But there you go. Our government does indeed care for people. In one group of government people do. And there is a different group of people who work in the government, and they think about enriching themselves with power and money. So these two different groups, they live and work among us and in our government, and somehow we seem to be in agreement on what they are doing because they do it, and we don't object. So that is the case with the cell phone towers, with all sorts of things. And I know vaccines, that's another issue that some people are very concerned about. I've told you my personal story with vaccines and my children. But, oh, here's another story. This happened in the early 1990s. A Russian scientist who was an immunologist and worked in germ warfare, he was well known within his community in Russia and internationally, but he had to retire before he was 60 years old because of his fragile health. And at that time, he went to an American clinic for an improvement in his condition. And while he was at that clinic in New York, he spoke publicly, and I remember him saying that he had to be very, very careful that he did not get a cold or a flu, because that could easily kill him. And that was because he had received so many vaccinations in his life that at this point his immune system was shot, gone, not working, so that any small illness could easily kill him. Still, he went to New York in the hope of getting an improved health. Well, at that time I thought, how could he not be in favor of vaccines? After all, I had always heard that vaccines were safe and effective. Well, I wondered if those Russian vaccines were the same as the international vaccines, or were they different from the ones in our country? I just wondered. I didn't know. I just wondered. This kind of talking about these things that are going on in the world makes me remember that I looked up a Denver channel, and it was dated on March 19th. Their article said that in February and March of this year, 2019, there were about 280 Christians killed in Nigeria by attacks which were mostly conducted by Boko Haram. And Boko Haram is a branch of the Islamic State of Iraq. So they have spread terror over more countries in the Middle East and Africa. And for sure, they're right there in Nigeria. They have done some big bad things. It's been documented that they, as an Islamic Muslim group, have killed many in raids on Christians, and they have taken school children as captives and to become slaves, literally slaves for whatever they wanted. They did that. That's what they did. And then I was listening to a Muslim news, Islamic news station. The English translation said that an imam, the Muslim holy man, said that there was a certain conflict where they lost some of their members of their haram, and they were killed. So I wondered about this. I thought, haram. Well, women were in a harem. I mean, haram. Now, that's the difference. It made no sense to me, but you have to realize, or I had to realize, that there was a difference between haram and harem. and I got confused for a few minutes what he was trying to say. And I realized what he was saying was Boko Haram. That was who he was calling his group, not the haram that women belong to by or controlled by a man. Oh, that was kind of a funny, well, my sense of humor. It's obvious now that I know, but I was confused by the similarity of the words. Interesting, sort of. Well, that happened, that was in the Central African Republic, and that's located in the heart of Africa. It has a population of 4.7 million, and churches all over that country have been burned. Also, there's been lots and lots of mosques that have been burned. Reportedly, 436 mosques were burned, and 5,000 people had been killed in that conflict. I looked it up, and Google said that that conflict has been going on for 50 years because Boko Haram is attempting to oppose Muslim Sharia law on that country. Very interesting. And the Muslim population is something like 10%, but they want to impose Muslim Sharia law upon the whole country. And if not the whole country, then the northern section. That's what they're trying to do. So Boko Haram is known for its brutality. It will hurt and wound people and then kill them after they're hurt. Oh boy. And there's plenty of UN peacekeepers in that country. Somewhere between 9,000 and 15,000 UN peacekeeping troops are there. But the violence continues. I don't know what the troops are doing, but it has not stopped the violence. Yeah. It's a civil war in that country. It's not good. And I know that there's plenty of people who talk about expecting a civil war in America. That's not good. Give it some thought about just how bad a civil war would be for America. And then pray against civil war in America. Pray that we can support the government that we have. Pray that our nation's leaders, that they are able to follow holiness as God of the Bible defines holiness. We certainly have situations around us, and we pray for God to rule the hearts of men. And let's avoid that second civil war in America. Let us adopt God's moral standards, and then we will have unchangeable moral standards inside of us. And we won't have to rely on man's laws, which change, and man's laws, which people seem to be breaking whenever they want to these days. There's plenty of freedom within God's laws. And I think that's the best part. If we can have God's laws and not man's laws, there's a conflict when you have man's laws, because men think that they can change the laws. That's been the thought all through the ages with kings and with common people. That's history. And yet, what do we have in our future? What does our future hold? Well, I sure wonder about it. There's lots of things that are just plain going on. I know one of the things that is always going on is the weather. And in these days, we are seeing wet and snowy, cold weather in the Midwest and on the East Coast of the United States. It's cold and wet in so many places. And what that is doing is it's making a few farmers to say that they are going to let the ground be fallow this year. they won't plant a crop at all this year because of the unfavorable soil and weather conditions. Should we be concerned? Well, maybe. Maybe we should be concerned about the U.S., United States food supplies. And there's also the world food supplies. Well, it's hard because people have different figures that they look at and they come up with as how the situation is impacting us all and the world. But I've heard this figure that recently, a few months ago, that the world had a 60-day reserve of food on hand. That's how much there was in a reserve, a total reserve in food, 60 days worth. And then just days ago, I heard a financial farm person saying that in the second half of 2019, the world food supply would shrink from 60 days to 26 days. Can you imagine that? A 26-day food supply for the world? Now, I know forecasts are kind of difficult to make, and I don't even know how much we should believe them. But there are people who deal with that area, and I think it's just fine to look and see what they have to say. And it's okay to disagree, but we can still listen to what people who know those areas have to say. And it's just so shocking for me to think of the world having a 60-day food supply, which I thought was hardly anything, and that it would shrink to a 26-day food supply. Oh, yeah, it makes me concerned for everybody, and it makes me think how I have talked about having a storage supply of food. You can call that food insurance. Well, I continue in my concern when I think about how we have no more stockpile of grain in our country. There is no more strategic food reserve of grain in our country. None. Our nation has no reserves, not anything to speak of. And our government says that our government, they cannot provide us, the citizen, with food. They can't feed us. So if you have these concerns about the food and about providing for yourself, please realize that you must provide for yourself. You must have your own stored food supply. And I like to think of whole grains. That's what I like to think of. I think of wheat, sugar, salt, and oil, and a manual wheat grinder. Those are the things that I have on my little list. Now, it's not just the easiest thing to make bread, but these things will last and last. If you just take proper care of that wheat, it stays in its whole wheat form for decades, for hundreds of years. It will still be good. All these things will be. The oil needs a little more care, but you can rotate your oil. And always you can write to me for my list of emergency thoughts. It's free. At the end of the broadcast, I'll tell you about that, how to get that. Well, for every sort of a thing that is going on, I do think it is important to look at the source of your information and then weigh it and determine how much you want it to impact your own thoughts and concerns. But to get information is good. Some of it you can just plain dismiss quickly, and some of it you will want to pay more attention to. Everybody has their own answer. But we do have to be aware of the things around us. We have a social system and an economic system, which, by the way, has for a long time, many decades, supplied everything that we could need and everything that we could want. It has just worked so very well. And because of that good experience, it is very difficult for us to consider that our system of supplies and food could ever break down. But it could. The system could break down. And if you look at history, history has plenty of examples of surprises coming along and affecting so many people, causing families and peoples and nations to fail. They get devastated and they fail. It's just kind of like the way of the world. And I think that's a good thing to be aware of, that it could happen to us. It could happen right here in the United States of America. Our country has developed some, bad habits. So don't be surprised if those bad habits reach into other areas. We all want to have self-control, but it seems like we don't. Just look at our nation, look at it from the top to the bottom. Personally, as a community, and as a federal government, we can't control what we consume, and that includes our money and our spending. We consume food, we consume physical things, we have cravings, and we have desires for more than we can afford. We have a national debt that's just plain growing out of hand. What do we do about it? I don't know what we can do about it, but we better get some self-control or we will spend ourselves into oblivion with our national debt. We have drug problems too, as both legal drugs and illegal drugs. So many things that just abound. Alcohol abounds. Marijuana abounds. Are they legal or not? I don't know. But they are widely accepted. They're kind of like normal use items these days. And often enough, illegal drugs are also normal use items for certain people. It's very common. If you look at the problems that our society, our nation is having with illegal drugs like fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, well, it's way too abundant and way too much used. I heard an interview days ago where a retired DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency, an agent in charge, he said in that interview that every day 530 Americans tried methamphetamine for the first time. So, yeah, how many of those who experiment with various drugs will get addicted, and how many of them will not? I don't know. It's a good question, but it can't be good for our society. It can't be good for our young people. It can't be good for our families or our friends, some of which will become regular users, some of which will become addicts to one drug or another. So all these things, whether it's alcohol or marijuana or those harder drugs, they do all affect our society, and they do all affect our nation's health. The numbers just increase, and how many people every year are getting to be either in a very strong habit or an addiction? Hundreds of thousands of people a year, probably. It's just huge. And where do these things come from? It seems as though so many of these illegal drugs are coming from China, and so many of these illegal drugs are coming from various terrorist groups. And what do? They sell these illegal drugs in the United States, and the profits that they get, they put it towards illegal activities. That's just kind of a given. Or in the case of China, towards their government controls in their own nation. It's a tangled web. And some people wonder what would happen if suddenly that supply of illegal drugs stopped. You know, a supply of illegal drugs that suddenly stops would cause a desperate concerns among addicts. It would not be a pretty picture for what would happen in the United States. It certainly would not. So, speaking of things stopping, what would happen if our national debt became so out of control that our financial system failed and our government went broke and the benefit checks stopped coming or were greatly reduced? Yeah, that would make a crisis. Oh, boy. And we do have lots of things that are pointing to that direction. For instance, are the young people, young workers, getting into the Social Security system, or are they drawing from various entitlement programs? It's a good question. There's lots of people who are in a bad way, and they become dependent on the entitlement programs. All sorts of people do, young and old. And isn't it just too obvious that our national overspending is having a big effect on everything too? Can our nation run out of money? Well, at some point, definitely. We pay such interest on our national debt. Well, we don't know when a crisis will come about, but there are so many financial people who are very concerned, and they are surprised that a collapse has not happened yet. So, will there be a collapse? And when a collapse does happen, it will crash our money, our financial systems, our society, and I think it'll shake up the whole entire world. That's what a lot of financial people expect, just that there will be a very difficult period of time to go through, worse than the Great Depression. And plenty of people say it is coming. What can we do about it? Get your own finances in order. And I say get a little food besides. Well, it's important that we do have a young population that is able to work. And not in prison. You know, so many people are in prison in our nation. But young people who work is a good thing. Where are we headed with the whole situation? We have government spending. We have people who feel entitled. And there is a movement in the United States to have a universal basic income. And that means so that everybody can live on their income. So everybody gets a check from the government, whether they're in school or not in school, whether they work or whether they don't work. This has been talked about for quite a while, but it seems to be gathering people who agree with it. So what will happen? I think that if there is or when there is a crash, we will have a growing and worsening problem because our government just keeps spending our money. Other people's money. Oh, yes, There's a saying about socialist governments. The question is, what will happen when they run out of other people's money? Yeah, there's situations all around us. There's been plenty of governments who have spent and spent and spent, and then they run out of money. That is more the rule than the exception. And there are present-day socialist governments that are an example of this. They have shortages. They have difficulties of all kinds, including food shortages. And really everything is in short supply. But what happens is that the population suffers. It also happens that there is great inflation or hyperinflation. Now, that's what's going on in Venezuela at this time. Venezuela is a country that is having crises, and they are getting funds from other governments, especially the Chinese government, because the Chinese government is trying to buy what they have, like a port or the things there. This makes for a government that gets all the money it needs to pay the high wages of its military and police personnel, and they control the population through force. That's one of the things that is going on right now in Venezuela. The system cannot maintain order. And many days, the people have no electricity. In fact, lately it's been going on consistently. No electricity and shortages of everything. What a situation. If in Venezuela, if you go to the hospital, you have to bring your own supplies, your own medical supplies, and your own food. The staff cannot supply what you need if you have to go to the hospital in Venezuela. What a mess! Well, I think that we should work on preserving our capitalist system that is in the United States. It also is a part of Christianity that we work and we produce and we benefit from what we work for and produce. So let's try to keep our United States capitalist system intact. Let's really try for that. There's people who wonder where our nation is headed, because there are people with different ideas and they're all in opposition to each other. And we wonder, what will actually be the direction of our nation? Where will it go? There's so many different groups with so many different ideas. And it gets to be so that there is conflict, and that conflict can lead to instability personally, politically, morally, and financially. That's one of the reasons why so many people are seeing that a financial collapse or a system-wide collapse is just completely possible. I don't know that we can avert it, and to me, I think we look at what happens if it does happen, and what happens if it does not happen. Look at both possibilities. That's what I think. But so many people these days are seeing the danger signs, and they are looking for a man who can save us. And history shows a man cannot save us. The Bible and the history books, they demonstrate that one day there will come a man who will say he can save us, and that will be the Antichrist. But no, we have to remember that our hope is only in Jesus Christ, and we can use the examples that he gave us to live. The examples come from the Bible through God the Father and Jesus the Christ. And if we look, if we read, we will gain more and more understanding. A good, for instance, of how it is in our government, we have three branches of government, and the Bible has three branches of authority, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And in both of these cases, for our government and in the Bible concepts, the three areas each support the other. So there's things to discover and things to discern in the Bible. And we have to look and we have to study. And then we get some pretty good ideas. That's what happened with our founding fathers. They got some pretty good ideas and put together a system for this country. So we can pray and we can read or hear, and then we can discern. We live in a world where we need Jesus. A lot of the world is fallen, and we need some heavenly advice. So choose Jesus. Be born again into a new spiritual life, and let the life you live reflect your choice to follow Jesus. So I do want to thank you for listening to Christ Today. And if you would like my free preparedness pamphlet, please write me. A self-addressed stamped envelope is helpful. And I will send you back my preparedness ideas. It's a little pamphlet. So write to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember that you can listen again to any episode of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. www.christtoday.org. And some of those older broadcasts are pretty interesting, I think, and I talk about different things. Lately, I've been talking maybe too much about the possible troubles coming, but they've been on my mind because I see what's going on in front of me in society and in the news. So until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.